Today on The Journey.
God is a generous God. And when we begin to grasp His generosity to us, then we can be generous to others. It's not about the amount of generosity you give. It's about the attitude in giving it.
We are drowning in God's favor, forgiveness, and love. So what should that mean as we look on a world dry and dying of thirst? Today, Ron Moore begins with the former so that we can act on the latter. First, a brief word about Ron's devotional book titled Journey Through the Psalms. If you've ever wondered about the meaning behind the Bible's collection of inspired songs, you need this uplifting publication. It's yours for a gift of any amount, and it's available at ronmoore.org. I'll have more about it later on. Now, here's Ron with the message, Knowing Generosity on the Journey.
Let's be a people that love God and love His name, trust Him, and believe exactly what He says He will do. And let's be His hands and His feet. That's the purpose of this series we're calling Generosity. That we can be the hands and the feet of God. That you would determine what you can do in order to meet the need of someone else. And so we're asking during this generosity series that you be the church in our area. And we're asking for us not just to talk about it, not to think about it, not to plan on it, not to say, boy, that'd be a good idea, but we just forgot again this year to do anything. We're asking you to make a difference. And God will know the impact that we make. And you know, in the end, that's the only thing that counts. So during this generosity series, we want to talk about generosity. We want to begin today by talking about the generosity of God and just lay some foundational truth down. We want to talk about, since God is generous to us, how we should be generous to others. We want to talk about the aspect of planned generosity, that we can plan to be generous, not during Christmas season, but throughout the year. And we want to talk about enduring generosity, because this is not something we just do. We want this to be something we are. Now let me say this. We are well aware that we're in some difficult economic times. And I know that some of you are just simply trying to keep your heads above water financially. And I know it's a struggle. Some of us are kind of in the next level where our jobs are fairly secure, but there's not a lot of surplus, and there's always concern with the future. And then some of you, God has blessed you tremendously, and you know what your challenge is? You wake up every morning saying, God, am I using this just to meet my needs, or am I using this for you? During this Christmas season, we want to focus on generosity. This Christmas season, we want to focus more on giving than getting. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 20. I want to read through a parable that Jesus told in response to some individuals who were grumbling and questioning His love and His interaction with them in their lives. And so Jesus tells the story in Matthew chapter 20. Verse 1, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day, and he sent them into the vineyard. A day's work during that time was from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., 12 hours. The landowner got up early, and he found people who were out early. During that day, you worked a day, and you were paid at the end of the day so you could go home and buy bread. And he promised them a denarius if they would work during the 12-hour day, and it was a very liberal amount. That was the same amount a Roman soldier made for a day's work. So 6 to 6, 12-hour day. Look at verse 3. About the third hour, which is 9 o'clock, he went out and he saw some others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. And he told them, you also go and work in my vineyard and I will pay whatever is right. And so they went. Didn't tell him what he was going to pay him. He just said, whatever is right. And they didn't have a lot of negotiation power because they needed to go work. And so they went. Look at verse 5. He went out again about the sixth hour, noon, and the ninth hour, 3. And then look at verse 6, about the 11th hour, 5 o'clock. He went out and found still others standing around, and he asked them, "Why you been standing here all day doing nothing?" "Because no one hired us," they said. He said, "Then go work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them the wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour, they worked an hour. They came and they received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. I mean, wouldn't you? But each of them received what? A denarius. And when they received it, they began to what? Grumble. The Greek word gudgadzo means to mutter or murmur or complain in a low tone. They were not happy with the landowner. Now, I was trying to think of an illustration about that, and my mind went to football. And I thought, what if you were Alabama? And you've been number one the whole year. But yesterday, you got beat by Florida. And now, you don't get to play in the national championship game against, let's see, who's the other team playing in the national championship? Oklahoma. Okay, it doesn't work really for a good illustration, but a good thing. These men who were hired, they had worked only 1 hour, they said, and you made them equal to us, and we have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. Look at verse 13. He answered them, "Friend, am I being unfair to you? Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I will give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want to with my money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" Are you envious because I am generous? Now, why did Christ tell that story? What was the point he was trying to make? Look back at verse 1. "For the kingdom of heaven is like." This is what God is like. This is what following God is like. The final payment is not based on how hard you work or how long you work or how well you work. The landowner, God in this sense, is generous. In fact, he's just as generous with those who show up late. How about the thief on the cross? To those who work their entire life for him. We call that grace. Undeserved favor. It seems unjust to the human mind, but in God's mind, it's all about, it has to be all about grace. Because you see, whether we worked our entire lives at trying to get to heaven, or whether we worked like the thief on the cross by just saying, "I believe you're the Christ," there's no way you can earn it with 70 years of good work or 10 minutes. And so it's got to be about grace. The point of today's sermon is very simple, very straightforward, and it is this: God is generous with his children. I want you to leave today just knowing this one thing. God is a generous, gracious God. God is a generous God to his children. Now, next we're going to talk about, since he's generous to us, we should be generous to others. But today, let's just drive into our hearts that one truth. God is generous with us. And let me give you a few passages as we think through this. Let's start with the verse, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Let's read it together. "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." Notice the exclamation point. And that is what we are. We are children of God because of the love that God has lavished on us, because of his plentiful, abundant, extravagant love. The word lavish means to smother with, cover with, to load up with. God, in His grace and His mercy, has heaped love upon us. He is a generous God with His children. And that is what we are. I want to break that down with three quick points as we think about the lavishing of God's love upon us. First is this. God is lavishing in His love when it comes to the payment of sin. Look at this verse in Psalm 49. No man can redeem the life of another or give God a ransom for him. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough. See, I cannot die for you and you cannot die for me. Why? Because we're sinners. My death does nothing for your eternity, and your death does nothing for my eternity. I could say, God, I'm going to die for a particular person, but I'm a sinner. My death means nothing. And so God, because He is generous in His love, sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Man, during this Christmas, let's not get all wound up with the giving and the presents and all the stuff. Let's just realize that we have received the generous gift of Jesus Christ that He lavishes on us. 1 Peter says it this way, you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. See, if you are a Christian, if you're a child of God, you have received the generosity of God in the payment of your sin. Think about that. That is a generous, extravagant gift, costing God His own Son. God is generous in His payment for sin. Secondly, He is generous with His love. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18 say this, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power by the Holy Spirit in us, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Paul says, man, I just pray that you as children of God, this generous God, can just begin with your heart and your mind to grasp the height and the depth and the length and the width of God's great, generous, extravagant love to you. I grew up in a church. It was a great church. I was there all the time. Became a Christian when I was 11. It was a great church, a caring church. But in that church, there was some theology that said you couldn't be sure if you were a child of God or not. You could be a child of God one day, but because of your sin, not be a child of God the next day. Or in the morning, be a child of God, and in the afternoon, because of your sin, not be a child of God. And I lived that way for about 10 or 15 years of my Christian life. And I got to tell you, that is a miserable way to live. Because I knew I was going to sin, and honestly, it just became like the lottery. I just hoped I wouldn't die during my sin time. Or I hope Jesus didn't come back during one of my down times. And there were a lot of them. And I had this picture of God that I knew He was loving, but I was His child for a little bit, and then I wasn't His child. And again, it was a tough way to live. And I will never forget, on a hot day in Dallas, Texas, after one of my first seminary classes, I was out there on that parking lot after hearing something in one of the classes. And I began to grasp that day the length and the depth and the height and the breadth of God's love. Because I realized from that class and from some of the teaching and how God was working in my heart that I was his child and would forever be. I realized that when he gave his son with this extravagant payment for sin to save me, I would always be his child. I would sin sometimes, for sure. But just like I was always a child of my mom and dad, even when I disobeyed them, I would always be a child of my Father in heaven, even when I obeyed him and when I disobeyed him. And I got to tell you, when I realized that, I stood out on that hot parking lot, and it was like a burden had been lifted from my shoulders. I realized that I would forever be a child of God. And after that time, there was a passage of Scripture that just has meant so much to me. I won't read it all. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. I'll start in verse 35. Paul says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Then he says, "For I'm convinced that neither life nor death, neither angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And if you don't know that today, man, I pray that you can realize that if you've trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are a child of God and will forever be. I want you today just to grasp that love. You know what Paul is saying in that passage? Paul is saying that God loves you with such a generous, extravagant love that there is nothing you can do to make him love you more. And there's nothing you can do to make him love you less. Now that's a radical concept, isn't it? Because in this world, we earn certain things. And we can have a friend one day and say something or do something or they say something and they're not our friend anymore. Not so with God. You are his child if you've trusted in Christ and will forever be. Nothing you can do to make him love you more, nothing you can do to make him love you less. That's called a perfect love. An unconditional love, an extravagant love that he bestows on his children. His gift is an extravagant gift. His love is an extravagant love. And one more thing, he's very generous with his forgiveness. You see, children of God are going to sin. And again, their relationship with God will not be severed. But just as it is in a family, when a child goes wayward, certainly the fellowship, the communication is broken. And we know that as Christians, when we sin, there's a conviction that comes over us. And some of you may have carried a big burden of sin in here today. And you may be overwhelmed by the guilt of your sin. But I want to remind you that we serve a God who is generous with his forgiveness. David said this in Psalm 32. Here's David, a child of God, King David, Old Testament. Here's what he says. "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of the summer." David is talking about living with unconfessed sin. He's talking about the guilt of sin. And he says, "It feels like my whole body's wasting away. It feels like I have a heavy hand upon me. It feels like my strength is sapped. Just like I would be working out in the heat of the day." Some of you can relate to that. You know what it's like to live with the overwhelming guilt of sin. But I'm telling you right now, you don't have to keep doing that. Look at verse 5. "Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." You can know that forgiveness today. Psalm 103 says this, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sin deserves or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is his love toward those who fear him, his children. As high, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. What a great reminder of God's generous forgiveness. God is a generous God. And when we begin to grasp his generosity to us, then we can be generous to others. It's not about the amount of generosity you give. It's about the attitude in giving it. Bob Russell, pastor and author, says this: it's a rare person who, when his cup frequently runs over, can thank God instead of complaining about the limited size of his mug. That's true, isn't it? So I don't know what size of mug God has given you, but I can tell you it is running over with his generosity. And we are asking you to be thankful children and demonstrate to a world desperately needing to see the love and the forgiveness and the salvation of a generous God.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a preview of our next time together. The book of Psalms is the soundtrack to our lives. Its sometimes lofty, sometimes bitter lyrics echo the deepest cries of the human heart. But at the center of this hit parade lies a central truth. God is praiseworthy and faithful during the darkest and brightest of days. You'll discover this healing truth in Ron Moore's devotional book titled Journey Through the Psalms, Volume 1. Whether your life is filled with the minor chords of pain and aching questions or the soaring refrains of joyful worship, you'll find their expression and encouragement in Journey Through the Psalms. This 300-page daily devotional is yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org, or you may call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Now here's Ron with a look at our next broadcast.
So how does the world see God? You know the answer, don't you? The world sees God through us. Hurting, broken, struggling, anxious, fearful, sinful people called sons and daughters of God only because of his generosity, only because of his great salvation paid for us with the extravagant price of Christ on the cross, only because of his love that he lavishes on us, only because of his extreme, unfathomable forgiveness, he always welcomes us back home. How does the world see the great generosity of God? Through you and me. God puts on us the assignment of being his hands and his feet. That's what we're called to do. Take your Bibles and open to Psalm 37. What we want to do is to work through a couple passages of Scripture, and I'm going to leave an assignment with you. Psalm 37. Find verse 25. King David is the writer of this psalm, and he begins by saying, I was young, and now I am old. David says, I have seen some things in my life. What I am going to say is not a wishful thought. It's not a whim. I have observed what you're about to hear. From the time I was young to my present age, here's what David had seen. Look at verse 25. I was young, now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. Isn't that a beautiful statement? Isn't that a tremendous promise? David said, lived a long life. I've seen a lot of people. I've seen people go through a lot of stuff. But I had never seen the righteous forsaken or their children
begging for bread.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please visit our website to order your copy of Journey Through the Psalms, Volume 1. Its insightful exploration of the Psalms will challenge, comfort, encourage, and inspire. Journey Through the Psalms, Volume 1 is available for a gift of any amount. It's at ronmoore.org, or you may call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Have you missed any of Ron's messages or series? Well, you'll find them when you click the broadcast button at ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? Also, please keep in mind, the journey relies on your generous gifts to pay for the airtime that makes this broadcast possible. Again, our address is ronmoore.org. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.